Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and a very, very good girl. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex blogger and a sex educator and a service-oriented pup.
So we are doing this podcast in service to you, our listeners, but we're also going to talk about service in a kink way, in a sex way, in a unfortunately interacting with vanilla people, in a way that is for us kinky, but for them not so much kind of way. service is a very important thing in both of our kink lives, I think. Tell me a little bit about service, because I feel like you're way smarter about this than I am, and, like, basically I was introduced to the concept of service kink by you. So, like, what is service kink? Explain.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm smarter about it than you are. I think I just feel more strongly about it than you do.
Well, I meant you know more shit about it. You've certainly done more research on it.
Both I guess.
In the form of, like, Googling and also, like, sexting a lot.
So. This is a thing that I do. So for me, service means showing my submission by doing things for other people, doing things that they don't want to do, taking care of them, doing things like acts of sexual service, like being used, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of just like being helpful and useful. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of my submission feels come from.
Yeah, I think that this can be a confusing notion for a lot of people because, like a lot of kinks, there is an element to it where you're like, is that even a sex thing, though? Because I know that, like, I've certainly doubted that certain kinks of mine were indeed kinks, and there's a debate to be had there. But having participated in kink many times, I've come to recognize the difference in the feeling within myself of, like, good kink feels like, oh, I did a good job, I'm a good girl, and just sort of being a good person. And they are two different feelings, although quite often I've had sexual partners or people who I've had a crush on say to me, like, oh, you're so nice all the time, you're always doing things for people, you're so generous, and I'm like, no, I'm really not, like, you just see that side of me because I'm being servicey toward you. And sometimes I don't tell them that, sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I'm totally a great person, I love doing shit for people, but no, actually, it usually is because I have a crush on them, but.
Yeah, see, that's interesting to me, because for me, there isn't a huge difference. I'm servicey to everyone. So there isn't, like, a big distinction between, like, kink feels and, like, doing it for people. Like, it feels more satisfying when I do it for people that I'm into or for people that I have submissive feels about because I'm more invested in them calling me a good boy or whatever forms of, like, gratitude and stuff, but also just doing it for, like, literally anyone is super satisfying.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like a shitty person, but it's okay. Because I feel the times in my life when I've had a male authority figure over me in some way, like a professor or a teacher or a boss, or a supervisor, whatever. I'm not exclusively straight, but I am leaning toward that direction on the spectrum. And so often if I have a man in charge of me, I'll do a better job, especially if I find him attractive, because I have some kink feels baked right in there. And that's not great, probably, but, like, it's a thing about how my brain works.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's probably not great that I feel this way about literally everyone, because it winds up getting me in situations where I'm getting taken advantage of a lot.
Yeah.
Which, like, part of it is, like, I put myself in that situation, but also part of it is, like, it's not great, you know? So it may, like, I find that my service-oriented stuff makes me not always great at setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because my reflex is just to be like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can pay for that. Yeah, I can take care of you. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, like, sometimes I say it, and then, like, 3 seconds later, my brain's like, bro, we don't want to do that. That doesn't sound fun at all. But yeah. I just default to, yes, absolutely, I can do that for you. What do you need me to do? I can take care of you.
Yeah, and I think, like, I've been thinking a lot over the past year about the ways that your kink feels are sort of like falling in love. I mean, obviously there's overlap a lot of the time, but you can't control it. Like, you can't control who you fall in love with, and you also can't control who you have kink feelings about. I certainly can't. I don't know about other people, but mm-hmm. And sometimes it would just be the randomest people where it's like they had made no indication of being kinky or even been interested in me sexually or otherwise. But it's just sort of, for whatever reason, my inner subbiness just like gravitates toward them and like gloms onto them. And that can be awkward if it's like not reciprocated or you just don't have that kind of relationship, to just feel very subby towards someone and just want to do all these things for them and to not really be able to because it's inappropriate or yeah. bad for your own self. Like, you have to be able to set boundaries, like you said, and it's really hard when that desire is not just a desire to help those people, but a desire to give yourself that feeling of satisfaction that you get from doing a good job at these things. It's very hard to set boundaries around that.
Yeah, I had someone that I worked with in the past that it was in, like, kind of a mentorship role. Mm-hmm. And we were also, like, really close friends and... But, like, this person had a habit of, like, when I would leave, he would hug me, kiss me on the forehead, and say, make me proud. And I was like, you, what, you can't, bro.
You know what that reminds me of, almost exactly, is my fuck buddy who always tells me, be good, when he says goodbye to me.
Yeah.
Like, almost every time, especially in recent months. And, like, he's very vanilla. He's very, very vanilla. But he always says this to me, and it gives me this, like, inner panic of, like, oh, is he being dommy? And then I'm like, no, he's not. And he just always says
he
that.
He just does that.
Yeah, but I'm always like, now I do feel like I want to be good. There is part of me that wonders if he says that to everyone he talks to, or if he says it in particular because he knows I'm subby. I feel like it's probably everyone. It's probably wishful thinking for me to be like, no, he understands the specialness of my subby heart and he's trying to appease me. No.
No.
But so what is satisfying about service for you? Get a little more in detail about that. I'm curious.
It's... For me, it's about just being, like, I think it plays into my anxiety stuff.
Because, I was going to talk about that, too.
Yeah, because for me, it's 100% about the other person recognizing that I did a good job. Mm-hmm. Or just me knowing that I did a good thing. Like, for me, when I get direction in service, I need it to be, like, clear enough that I know exactly what I need to do.
Yes.
If a top just, like, tells me a vague thing, like, if a top is like, go clean my room, it's like, but where does everything go? Do you have an organization system? Do I have the freedom to create an organization system? Can I please create an organization system? I'm gonna do a spreadsheet.
This is where your service sub tendencies intersect with your Virgo tendencies, and I love
yes.
it.
Yes, this is also true. But, so, I need, like, clear direction on what I need to do, and so that then, A, I know I did a good job, and B, whoever's topping me is telling me I did a good job, and I'm a good boy, mm. and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, like, validating when a lot of time the rest of the world is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it kind of plays into my love languages a little bit, where it's how I show that I care for someone by taking mm-hmm. care of them and by doing things for them.
Yeah.
So I also appreciate kind of being able to do that as well.
When you talked about how it makes things feel more comfortable in a world that's scary, I was so reminded of this weird period of time I experienced right after the election last year. I mean, like, everybody's period of time at that time was fucking weird. But, you know, we were all kind of panicking. Many of us still are, rightfully so. But in the week after November 8th, I didn't know what to do. I was working on some writing projects, and I sent this draft of this thing I had written to someone I had a lot of kink feels about, and he gave me some very detailed notes about how he would suggest improving it. And I sent him another draft. We went back and forth a few times with him giving me notes, and it became, for me, this, like, very kink-charged interaction. I don't think he felt it that way at all, because he's very vanilla. But it became this thing that was perfectible in this world that felt completely unperfectible. This world that felt very messy and scary to me and very out of my control. Like, there's nothing I could do, it feels like, because not only is the world, you know, really problematic right now, but I also live in Canada and I can't do a whole lot to affect what's going on in the US. I felt very out of control. So for him to give me these very specific notes and for me to be able to implement them and kind of find the most perfect way to do that, and then eventually to get his A+, basically, was so satisfying and gave me this sense of stability that I was really longing for at that time. And it was this weird intersection of, like, where kink meets psychology, which is a really interesting intersection for me always, because it's like, is this good feeling a kink feeling, or is it a good, like, mental health feeling, or a good interpersonal feeling, or can all of those things exist at one time? And I think that they can.
Yeah, I think, and the way you talked about having, like, specific changes you can make, I mm-hmm. find that really helpful for my mental health just overall. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a notebook that I carry around with me that has lists in it every day, and if I don't have my lists, everything kind of falls apart. But when I do have mm-hmm. my lists and have, like, recognizable tasks that I need to do, that structure is really, really helpful for me and my mental health, and, mm-hmm. that's why part of my kink dynamic with my sir is that I have specific tasks that I do every day that he follows up on. Mm-hmm. And again, that, like, structure and framework is really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And on, like, a more sexual note, I was thinking about how service is a huge part of my fantasies when I'm fantasizing about threesomes, or really any sexual act that makes me nervous. Because, like, I remember when I was feeling very nervous about going down on women, which is still a thing that makes me... I haven't done it yet. Still, I'm, like, very nervous about it. But I was having all these fantasies about my male fuck buddy threesoming with me and another girl, and him very specifically telling me what to do. Like, a play-by-play, moment-to-moment instruction on what to do. Because he's good at that. And to me, that made me so much less freaked out about the notion of doing that, even just in fantasy. And, like, mm-hmm. when I fantasize about threesomes, it's almost always me as a service sub to these two other people. Like, either one of them is the boss of both of us, or they're both just bossing me around and kind of almost using me as a sex toy on each other. Mm-hmm. Because threesomes make me kind of anxious. But to have some structure and to have something specific to do really would help me, both in sexual ways and also just, like, with my anxiety. So,
yeah, I think a lot when I think about servicey threesomes, it's always mm-hmm. The way you kind of talked about, like, them using you as a sex toy kind of thing. One of my, like, go-tos is thinking about being DP'd, like, as a sex toy, while the two mm-hmm. people that are fucking me are basically, like, just having sex with each other and talking about how they feel against each other inside of me. Yeah. So that's a thing.
Yeah. I had a crush on this couple. I'm sure you remember. They're mm-hmm. a really babely couple. Mm-hmm. And I was having a lot of threesome fantasies about them. And one of the things I kept coming back to was one of them instructing me to go down on the other one. And I don't really care which way it goes. It could be either or both. But I really liked the idea of hearing very specific instructions. Because, like, your partner, you've been with them for a while, they would know exactly how to go down on you. And then to hear them translate that into words for someone else to do, there's something very hot to me about that. I really want to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think even just one-on-one stuff, though, the reason coming at sex from a service perspective for me, I have I was in a very long-term relationship with a person who did not enjoy sex at all, really. Kind of have a theory that he was somewhere on the ace spectrum, or just his mental health stuff messed that up for him, because he had a lot of mental health things, but all, like, undiagnosed and untreated, but for me, that gave me, or I left that relationship with kind of a lot of insecurities about, like, my value sexually, and, like, just being wanted and desired and that sort of thing. So while I think I always kind of had a kink for, like, being used and stuff like that, it, to me, it comes down to, like, really intense desire for me, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And, like, a purely sexual one, not, like, right. Obviously in real life, it's like, yes, hi, I would like them to also think I'm hilarious and charming. Because if they don't, they're objectively wrong, and I don't want to date someone with bad judgment, you know? Yeah. But in a sexual context, it's nice to feel wanted exclusively for sex, you know? And just, right. like, be found that attractive and everything, and that's kind of the feelings that, like, being used evokes in me.
And I also think when you're insecure about your own desirability, romantically or sexually, you're constantly wondering, what could I do or what could I be that would make you want me? Or, like, what could I do or what could I be that would be what you want? And when you're in a service dynamic, they literally just tell you what exactly. you can do or be that would be what they would want. And you're like, oh, okay, I could totally do that. As opposed to in so many of my past vanilla relationships where it was like, I know that I'm not doing something that you need and you won't fucking tell me. Yeah. And just give me the instruction and I do it. And, like, a lot of people would say, well, that's inauthentic if you do it just because they want you to. And I'm like, I'm like, it's kind of inauthentic. It's also kind of love and devotion. Like, I don't know how I feel about that, you know?
Yeah. And I, yeah. And even something as simple as, like, one of the, like, really simple movements that I kind of think about a lot with service is just someone grabbing me and putting me where they want me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't really care if this feels good for you right now this way, because this is how I need it to be to get off. And it's like, oof, okay, sure, good. Great, we can, yeah, great. Yeah, so this kind of is bringing up for me thoughts of, you ever read the Marketplace series by Laura Antonou?
Nope.
Okay. Well, you should. I've only ever read the first one, but it's a story of people who go through this intense service submission training. And there's one character who is, or a couple of characters, really, who are like, yeah, I'm gonna be the best service bottom. You can, like, fuck me however you want and just totally use me and blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, okay, go clean the silverware. And the person's like, what do you mean clean? So I think it's kind of this, like, really interesting illustration of how for some people service is like, yes, I totally want to serve you in all of the ways that I want to do it.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I'm curious if, like, you have feelings about what kind of service tasks you like to be assigned versus others.
God, kink is such a paradoxical adventure sometimes. I just love it. There's just so much to think about. So here's the thing. When we were preparing for this episode, I said to you, shit, this sure would be a lot easier if I had ever had a dom partner I liked. Because really, I haven't. The people who I've had the most satisfying sexual relationships with, emotionally as well, have been pretty vanilla. And my dom partners have turned out to be pretty shitty for the most part. So I've never really had the synthesis of, like, caring about someone enough to want to serve and please them, and also them having the kinks that made that satisfying for them as well. So most of my experience of service submission is based in fantasy. So it's hard to say, like, what would feel good for me and what wouldn't, because I don't really know. But I think that my service kinks are actually more oriented toward non-sexual service, because I'm finding when I have kinky sex, as much as I love giving head, I don't really love to be told what to do while giving head, like a little bit, but for the most part, I like to show...
Bitch, I'm a professional, let me handle this.
A little bit, yeah, because I'm like... I prefer to kind of listen to their body and their reactions and figure shit out, and that's what makes me feel smart and accomplished. Verbal instruction is cool too, but there is something about it that makes me feel criticized if it's phrased in a way that isn't as kind as it could be. And part of my service thing is I don't like doing things I'm not going to be good at. And maybe that makes me sound like a bratty teacher's pet, whatever. But perhaps because of being a literal teacher's pet growing up and always being precocious and always being pretty good at school things and whatever, both in my kink life and in my non-sexual life, if I'm not immediately good at something, I start to worry and be like, shit, I guess I wasn't meant to do this at all. That's not great, but I am not one of those kinksters who likes to be put in predicaments that are purposefully designed to get me to feel bad at something or to fuck up. I like to be given a task that I know I'm going to succeed at. So, for example, like, I've written about this a bunch of times, but one of my favorite examples is showing up at someone's house with the exact type of beer that they like, and they haven't told me to bring that, I just, like, remembered. That's an example of a task that makes me feel very accomplished and smart and fulfilled, especially if they notice and appreciate it enough, which some people don't, and you should!
Yeah. I love remembering people's preferences for things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost... most of the people I work with, I can tell you how they take their coffee or tea and can acquire it for them at mm-hmm. will. Like, so things like that is really great because they're always like, I'll be like, yeah, you know, you want me to go get you tea from the cart outside? And they'll be like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, milk and sugar. I was like, milk and no sugar, right? I'm on my way. Like, and they're always like, oh, yeah. Like... but just stuff like that, just being able to, remember things about people is, like, super satisfying for me. Oh, and, like, I love, like, cleaning tasks and stuff that I know I'm good at. Mm-hmm. But I can't do, like, the predicaments where I'm set up to fail.
Yeah, no. And, like, I totally recognize that for some people that is a huge part of their kink and what is hot for them about service is the notion that they will never actually be able to fully complete it and then maybe there will be a corresponding punishment afterward. But, I don't know, for me that just stresses me the fuck out. I want to be able to do it perfectly, you know?
Yeah, I can't, for me, punishment is not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to be beaten, but...
yeah. That's a different thing.
Yeah, but being hit for me is also an act of service. Like, I love the narrative of, I just kind of want to play with you and hurt you, and I'm going to need you to take this until I'm done. Because yeah. You look cute when you're bruised, so makes me happy. Like, that kind of narrative for a spanking or whatever is a lot more fun to me than the... you've been bad and you need to be punished. Or, and I can sometimes get behind the, like, you're such a little slut, you love this, don't you? This mm-hmm. is a reward. That's mm-hmm. okay. Yeah. But for me, the big, like, my go-to narrative is, like, I want to see you in pain, and my needs are more important, so we're just doing this, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too, about how my favorite spankings are when taking the spanking is a service that I am providing for my top, at least in my own narrative about it. And I feel that way about blowjobs to a slightly lesser extent, because, like, I really, really hate it when tops know that I like giving head and then act like it's a favor they're letting me do. Like, I'm sure that that is many people's kink. And that's fine. But when dudes are like, Yeah, and then maybe I'll let you go down on me for a while. I'm always like, oh, fuck you. Like, my blowjobs are transcendental. Shut the fuck up. Like, like, yes, I enjoy giving head, but, like, that just puts me in a weird position and, like, makes me uncomfortable when they frame it as, like, a favor. I used to have this fuck buddy who, like, he was dommy, and I think he was trying to, like, play with my feelings in, like, kind of a dommy way, but, like, anytime I was like, yeah, I'm free tonight, do you want to meet up and, like, have some sex? He would say things like, I could be persuaded to invite you over, or, like, I could be persuaded to come over. And I'd be like, no, fuck you. I do not want to persuade you. Yes or no? Like,
you tell me.
I think part of that was that I wasn't that into him on an emotional level, like, at all. I think probably that if someone I was really into was like, I could be persuaded to have you over to blow me, I would be like, all right, well, here are all the pros, like, the reasons why. Like, I'm showing my work. What say you? But yeah, I did not give a shit about his approval. So I was like, fuck you. No BJ for you. Good night.
Yeah, see, I feel like a couple of ways about that. If it's not in a kink thing, and, like, because I've also seen, like, vanilla-ish dudes be like, I suppose we could do that. You know, I could let you suck my cock. Like, that's arrogant and annoying. But
it's almost
also,
like, negging in a way.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That kind of attitude about it is, like, gross. Mm-hmm. But my sir is prone to doing things like, if you're a good boy, you can earn your sir's cock.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, yes, I can do what is required of me.
Well, I feel like that's a more specific and deliberate kink infusion into that idea. Whereas so often when dudes have been like, yeah, like, I could be talked into it, that to me is like shit or get off the pot, you know? Like, be really dommy or don't be dommy. And like, obviously, if you're gonna be really dommy, you need consent and you need an established dynamic. But if they're just kind of being shitty about it, that's not dominance. That's negging, like I said, and it's making me feel bad about myself without having consented to feel bad about myself. So that's not great.
Yeah. I think, I know you're going to have a lot of feelings about this, too. What are your, playing off of that, like, you're a good boy, you get to play with your sir's cock, what are your thoughts on cum as a reward? Because I know you have a lot of feelings about it being in your mouth. Put it in my face.
So yes, I love people coming in my mouth. Let me rephrase that. I love when people I'm attracted to and have consented to come in my mouth come in my mouth. Oh, I have so many complicated feelings about this.
I know, that's why I asked it.
I know. So I love cum in mouths. that's like a very eroticized thing for me in my porn consumption and in my sex life. I love the moment where someone's like, I'm gonna cum, and I'm just like, mm-hmm, and like double down and like keep at it. Provided, of course, that fluid exchange is a thing that we have said that we're okay to do. But I actually don't think that the cum itself is the eroticized thing for me. I think it's the orgasm happening in my mouth more so than the fluid itself. Although I also think perhaps there's a psychological Pavlovian thing there that, like, I don't feel entirely satisfied or sated by a blowjob unless the person comes in my mouth. And I know that we discussed that a lot around the threesome that we had last year, where we were negotiating some mild jealousy feels that I was feeling because this was my fuck buddy who I had banged a bunch of times and you had not banged him before. And I was like, we were trying to come up with some boundaries and rules that would help us all feel better about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if we blow him together, I want to be the one whose mouth he comes in. And that would make me feel better and safer in the interaction. And you were like, yeah, chill, cool, whatever.
Cool, sure.
I don't actually remember if that happened. Did that happen?
No, I don't think so.
We did not co-blow him. I think we each separately blew him and each separately got a load of cum. So, nice. Good job, us.
Go team.
But then when I co-blew him again with my buddy Sue's a few months later, I also again got his cum in my mouth because it was again like it sealed the deal for me somehow psychologically. But yeah, I don't really think of it as a reward. It's more of a confirmation that I did a good job, which maybe mm-hmm. sounds like I'm splitting hairs between a reward and like confirmation that I'm doing a good job. But to me, they do feel like two separate things, because part of what's hot to me about someone coming in my mouth is the loss of control that they experience at that moment, and how it's kind of like they're almost like surprised by how good it feels, and then they come. Whereas a reward, I feel like, is a more intentional thing that they are bestowing upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so my kink to just like surprise them with how amazing I am at blowing them so that they lose control and come. Yeah, what are your thoughts on semen, Bess?
Mine are pretty similar. I think my feelings about it are newer recently.
Mm-hmm. They're coming into being.
Yeah. especially because my sir and a couple other people I've hooked up with recently don't come super easy. Mm-hmm. So it is, like, something that I work for and earn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really satisfying for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of like you were saying, like confirmation of a good job and that sort of thing. So if that's not a reward, what kind of things do you find rewarding for being in service? Or what kind of ways do you like your tops to interact with you while you're in service?
I am really about verbal praise. And, like, you know, every time I do one of those love languages tests, it always tells me that words of affirmation are very high on my list. And, you know, I'm a writer. Words are very important to me. And I was thinking recently, because I banged someone who did not compliment me at all during the sex that we had. Right. And, like, I think a lot of people would be like, why does he need to compliment you? He's having sex with you. That already is an implicit confirmation that he finds you attractive and desirable.
Those people not met you.
Yeah. If someone has sex with me and they don't compliment anything about me the whole time, I'm going to spend the whole time and then many days afterward thinking, are they even attracted to me? Like, why are they even here? Why are they doing this? Because I just don't fully believe it until I hear verbal confirmation of it. And so I think that if I were to get into a kink dynamic with someone, I would have to very explicitly tell them that, like, I don't feel rewarded or fulfilled by almost any sex or kink thing unless it's verbally confirmed to me that I did a good job or I was attractive or they enjoyed themselves, whatever. Like, even something as simple as, like, God, that was a great blowjob. You made me come so hard. Like, I just light up at that. Or a text the next day that said, that blowjob last night was amazing. Hope we can do that again real soon. Like, that soothes my anxiety so much. It makes me feel so useful and gives me tangible evidence of why you find me attractive and interesting and why you were there. And without that, I really feel unmoored and lost and confused and anxious, and it's not great. So, yeah, verbal praise, that's what it's all about for me. How about you?
Yeah, for me, it's a lot of verbal praise. Obviously, I've said the phrase good boy a lot, but that's, like, super great for me. I also like positive objectifying language. Mm-hmm. Like, look at how cute they are, or, like, you know, even just, like, I love your holes, I love, you know, this, I love that, whatever. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. stuff's really good.
I remember when we were planning our threesome, I texted my fuck pal to ask him what toys I should bring, and he replied, bring whatever you like, my favorite toy is your mouth.
Oof.
And I was in a cafe at the time with our friends Taylor and Caitlin, and I made that noise, I was probably like, oof, and, like, threw my phone on the table.
Yeah.
Involuntarily, and was like, ah! Because that is just a perfect example of the type of verbal affirmation that, A, gets me extremely wet, and B, makes me feel extremely comfortable in that interaction. So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, stuff like that is awesome.
I feel like we're talking a lot about BJs, and this episode is almost about service and BJs.
I mean, they kind of overlap.
Yes.
I really love, like, physical affection, too, like head pets or cuddles or whatever. My favorite thing, though, is not always something that happens in a kink scene, because in a kink scene, it's kind of, like, structured. You're doing this service thing for me or whatever. But my favorite thing is that look of, like, surprise and excitement when I do something really well and, like, prove I know someone really well. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it be getting them a present or doing something for them that just proves that I remembered whatever. Mm-hmm. Something they did way in the past or whatever. And the way they're, like, surprised and excited and kind of confounded on how'd you even do this and how did you know and thank you so much and, like, that face is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, the best thing in the world. It's like, I know, I am amazing. Thank you.
A friend of mine has a kink. I don't know if it would really be considered a kink, but she loves the look on someone's face when they just can't believe their good luck at whatever sexy thing is happening to them.
Yes.
I always think of it in regards
that
to blowjobs whenever.
Similar face.
Yes. And she tweeted about it, and I was reminded of when I co-blew my fuck buddy, and he had like this lifelong fantasy about being co-blown. When I say co-blown, I mean two different people blowing him at one time. And he had told me many months ago that this was like a lifelong fantasy of his and that he'd never been able to make it happen successfully. And I orchestrated it and made it happen many months after he told me about it. And then kind of after that, we were hanging out and he was like, I can't believe that that happened. Like, I've wanted that my whole life and it finally happened. And I looked at him, I was like, I know. Like,
like, hello, buddy, I did this on purpose.
I fucking set it up. And I saw this look dawn on his face of, like, realizing that I had done this on purpose. And it was just this extremely satisfying look of gratitude. Like, when you give someone the best birthday gift that they were never expecting anyone to actually get them. It was the best.
Yes, that, like, that face. That face right there is, like, my favorite thing.
Yep. Oof, sploosh. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. Hey Bex, what's your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That is something I touched on a little bit earlier, but it's how easy it is to, I was gonna say, let myself get taken advantage of, which, there you go, phrasing, when I'm servicey, because I really do just want to do stuff for everyone, and it's, all I need is, like, good job. Like, that kind of satisfying pat on the head. I've gotten into a dynamic at work where I literally just will go to people and be like, I did a thing, now I need someone to come say ooh and ah and tell me how pretty it is. And they'll be like, okay. I'll, like, come and I'll be like, I cleaned everything, look. And they'll be like, it's beautiful and great. And I'm like, thank you, you can leave now. But, and so it works out great when I can kind of twist things and use my service feelings to make me be really good at stuff, but other times it just leaves me in positions where I'm loaning way too much money to people, or spending way too much money on people, or, like, you know, just volunteering to do things because they asked me to do it, so I gotta fit it into my schedule somehow, and it's like, oh, well, I'm working 3 15-hour days in a row now between various jobs and favors. That's a thing that I guess I'll survive. It'll be fine, right? Fine. So I think being such an actively service-oriented person means getting really, really good at creating boundaries.
Yeah.
Which is actually a conversation I had with my sir semi-recently, where, he said, he's like, anytime you offer to do things for me, I consider it a kink thing and a service thing, and I'm gonna say yeah. And I'm like, okay, I am gonna pause for a second then and start making sure that anything I volunteer to do is a thing I genuinely actually want to do. But having that communication around it, I think, is super helpful, because boundaries are hard.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you did that.
Yeah. So what about you? What's your Fuck That?
So along similar lines, my Fuck That is unreasonable requests that tops make of me when they know that I'm subby. This isn't always a malicious thing. But like, for example, recently I was at a party and some people were spanking me, and one of them, while I was like deep in subspace from being spanked, said to me, "I'm going to count down from 10. And when I reach one, you're going to have an orgasm for me." And you know, I love spanking, but it's not something that I come from. Even if I'm being sexually stimulated at the same time, I don't think I would, because, receiving pain and receiving pleasure are two very different kind of modes for me to be in. And I don't think I could focus on both of those things at once, certainly not well enough to have an orgasm. So I kind of laughed in their face, because I just knew that this was not a possibility for my particular body and brain. And I was like, that's not going to happen. That doesn't work for me. And to their credit, they took it very well. And they were like, all right, sorry for asking. And then just kept spanking me, which is how you should react to that. But I don't know. I thought it was a bit weird that, like, you know, it was their first time ever spanking me. And I think it's a bit presumptuous to assume that someone could come from that unless they've specifically told you that they can.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, because if I had not been in my mind enough to tell them that that wasn't a thing I could do, then they would have counted down from 10 and we would have gotten to 1 and I would not have came, and then I would have felt really bad about that, because when I'm in subspace, if I don't fulfill a TOPS request, it makes me feel really bad. Even in my regular life, when I'm not in subspace, sometimes it makes me feel really bad. So I think that if you're gonna make an outlandish request of someone in a service-y or kink kind of way, you should definitely have the negosh before you do that. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is service bottoming at events. Mm-hmm. So recently there's this group on Facebook that's like New York City Queer Cruising. It's basically like a pickup group or whatever. And I had a friend of mine posted a thing that was like, "Hey, I need service bottoms for this party I'm hosting." And I was like, "Hi, hello, yes, have you met me? Hi. Hey." Hi. Which basically meant, it was a launch party for Nerve Endings, which is a trans erotica anthology that is phenomenal, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it basically meant I got to go there and I sold books all night. And then I went to the play party, the after party that was like a private event, and got drinks for everyone and opened the door and greeted everyone and let them know where to keep their coats and, you know, where their shoes can go and all kinds of stuff like that. And it was great because in social events like that, I get super anxious. But if I have a job,
yeah,
then it's not scary at all. And I have a reason. Like, tonight I'm going to a wrestling party, and it's not the first one I've been to, but I'm a part of the core group of wrestlers that host it. So I take it upon myself to go around and explain the rules to all of the guests and people who have never been to an event like this before. I'm like, so this is how it works, this is what you gotta do, this is all the information you need. And it's great, because, again, it's a reason to walk up to cute humans rather than just being like, "Hi, you are a cute human. Am I also a cute human? Can we talk about things?" Because that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So just having kind of a job gives me a purpose to kind of do things with. Plus, I got so many head pets that night at the party, so that was also cute. Great. Yeah. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is being a good girl, and it comes with some caveats. Is that how that word is pronounced?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, good girl is part of my branding. It's, I have the phrase tattooed on me, in fact, and I've written a lot about it and what it means to me and whatever, and so often this reputation for liking this phrase kind of precedes me, and people will think that if they just drop the phrase, something magic happens, and I guess I, like, come all over their dick or something. I don't really know what they think. But I've had people say it in otherwise not very kinky interactions and just seem to think that the phrase itself was the thing that was going to do something. But what actually is satisfying for me about that phrase is earning it, and to the point where, like, if someone says a compliment to me that the spirit of it is essentially "good girl," but they don't use those exact words, it's more satisfying to me than an empty "good girl." Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I was at work the other day, and I went above and beyond my cleaning duties and swept the stairs. and my, like, dommy coworker was like, "Oh, you're sweeping the stairs?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, why not?" And I thought he was going to call me a good girl for a second, and then he was like, "You're so sweet." But in this very, like, affirming service top kind of way. And I was like, oh, like, I had some kink feelings about it. So, yeah, I really enjoy the phrase good girl, but really more so the sentiment behind it. It's very affirming, and it makes me feel very good about myself. Mm-hmm. You know what else makes me feel good about myself? When our listeners send us questions for us to answer on the show.
And they did!
I know!
I'm so excited that we get to do a listener feedback section.
Yes, please more.
Yes. Hopefully we'll have enough one day to do maybe a whole episode, because that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got a very long, lovely email from Sky.
Thank you, Sky.
And they asked us two awesome questions that I wanted to kind of address on the podcast. So the first one, they ask, you both mention your star signs, like, a hell of a lot, and I'm really curious when they started being important for both of you. Have you ever made dating decisions based on your star signs?
Okay, so I'm a Taurus, and I have always really identified with that label, because every time I read descriptions of what a Taurus is like, they suit me to a T. We're supposed to be very stubborn, very passionate. We're supposed to be really into the, quote, finer things in life, like food and music and theater. All of these things describe me really well. I'm sensual. I'm down to earth. Tauruses are earth signs. I never really believed in astrology that much when I was a kid, but then as I got into being a teenager, at a certain point, I made a list of all my most intense crushes up to that point, and I looked up their birthdays to the best of my ability, and I found more than half of them were Virgos, which is weird now because you're a Virgo. This actually isn't so much a pattern in my life anymore, but at that time, I was really attracted to Virgos. And this is a thing in astrology, that Tauruses and Virgos are actually supposed to be a good match and are supposed to be drawn to each other. And when I read about that, I was like, fuck, maybe there's something to this. Like, I, you know, people will write you off as a flake if you say you believe in astrology, but I don't know how I feel about the, like, projections of the actual events of our lives, but in terms of, like, the personality types, I have always found some element of truth in them. Judge me as harshly as you wish for that. I don't really care, but but I find it really interesting. How about you?
So I am not super into astrology at all. I often joke that I'm not into astrology, but I am queer. which is basically the same thing sometimes. So it means I kind of speak the language, and I realize that saying I'm a Virgo communicates a lot to people mm-hmm. who are into astrology, and right. a lot of what being a Virgo means really resonates with me, so I tend to use mm-hmm. it as, like, shorthand to kind of describe myself.
Right.
I know nothing about most of the other signs. I do find it super fascinating, the same way I find any, like, personality test or things like that really fascinating, where it's like, oh, does this offer some insight into me? How much of this resonates with me? How much of it doesn't? Looking at it with, like, different people and their signs. But I couldn't tell you most of it. I mostly speak the language, like I said, because a lot of people I know do. We do have a really good friend of mine coming on the show. We're recording it relatively soon, but I think it's going to come out in a couple of months, where we're going to talk a lot about astrology and dating and sex and kink.
I'm so fucking excited. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be super cool. They've looked at my chart before, and we kind of talked about, like, what different things in my chart mean, and I was like, this is fascinating. Come do this on my podcast.
Yes.
So we have that coming up as well.
Excellent.
Sky also has another question for us. They wanted to ask our advice on being a masochist without a top, if we have any. There's a whole bunch of factors stopping them from dating right now, but the idea of limiting their pool to tops who only listen to their show does not that who only listen to our show does not seem like a wholly bad idea. Only half joking.
So, okay, I have two solutions to this, and one of them is super problematic. The problematic one is self-spanking. And the reason I say it's problematic is that some people say that this is self-harm. I have very conflicted feelings about this. To the point that I almost don't even want to say anything about it and kind of like let you make your own conclusions about it. But I have occasionally spanked myself as a way of alleviating cravings of the masochistic variety, and it does sometimes work. Obviously consult with a mental health professional, etc., and be good to yourself and be careful. My other suggestion, though, is spanking stuff with friends. I've done so much platonic spanking over the years, and I have some toppy friends who I don't have sexual or romantic feelings about, but if I text them and say, hey, I need to be beaten up, they will say, come over with some paddles and let's do it. And that's a really good kind of person for someone like me to know, because sometimes it is like emotionally important that I get spanked. Like it really does help with my anxiety and depression and a lot of other things. So I'm very grateful to have those friends in my life, and maybe you have some friends who would be open to that as well.
I think those were really good suggestions. I actually, for me, my masochism is a subset of my service. It's a way for me to impress and please a top by taking as much pain as they want me to. So I don't really get the physical sensation out of, like, self-spanking. That doesn't... Even when my sir tells me to spank myself, I'm always just like... I don't hit myself as hard as he would hit me. Right. And, like, I can't, and it doesn't work for me the same way. So friend spankings are really great for that. You spank me all the damn time.
Just fantastic. I don't think I spanked you last time I was in New York.
I'm just gonna book a ticket to Toronto. Pay no mind.
I'm down. Come anytime.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is that sometimes my masochistic desires are really a desire to push my body to its limits and experience some kind of intense sensation, and it doesn't necessarily have to be focused into pain for me. So when I'm feeling that way, sometimes like intense exercise helps, or like even just going for a really brisk walk, or doing something intense, going swimming, whatever. And that kind of
sates the need. I like getting body bumps.
Yeah. Oh, true. Like tattoos and piercings. Yeah, that can help. It's not a very sustainable solution, particularly if you don't have a lot of money, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much, Sky, for those questions. And if you want to send us questions for us to answer on the show, our email address is, as always, thedildorks@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our show. My name is Kate Sloan. You can find me online at girlyjuice.net or katewritesaboutsex.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where's your stuff at?
I'm Bex. I'm at Bex Talk Sex on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm at bextalksex.com. Together, we're the Dildorks. We are at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. You can also search the Dildorks on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, if you give us a review, it makes us look super good, makes it easier for other people to find our show, and makes me smile, which is always great.
I want to say a kink thing about this, but it could go either way. I could be like, I am doming you into leaving a review for us. Or I could be like, I like when you leave me praise about how great our show is. It really makes me feel like a good sub for you. So, like, whichever one of those resonates
all of
with
them.
You.
It makes me feel good, and also be a good listener and go do a review for us, okay?
Thank you, as always, to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy Gardner at starboots_ on Twitter for drawing our logo for us. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. It's called a brownie. There it is.
I was a brownie.
Me too. I told my mom I would only be a brownie if I didn't have to eat brownies.
I mean, that would be cannibalism, so that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I don't like chocolate.
This podcast is a public service, you might say. Fuck.
Nope. I would not say that.
No, it is a for-profit endeavor.